Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company. Unconventional ideas that change the world. Whatever business means to you, listen to top podcasts like How I Built This and Business Wars early and ad-free only on Wondery Plus. Wondery means business.
Okay, so I have an OJ story. Do you want to hear the OJ story?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Fanatics. Ooh. Everyone's got their thing.
Fanatics. Ahoy, hello, buenos dias. Not sayonara, shalom. Yes, we're welcoming you into the Fanatics podcast today. I am one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and the other host is...
Claire Kramer. Hello, everyone.
Hello. And we are so excited to talk to Mr. Greg Grunberg today of the fame of Alias and Felicity and Star Trek and Heroes and Star Wars and Star is Born and anything that has the word star in it, because he is our star today that we're going to talk
shine, to. Shine bright, Greg.
And have a great time with. And he is fanatical about so many things, specifically something that rhymes with the Ford Bronco. But I also want to introduce him as not only a star of all these wonderful things I said about, but he is also your husband in a previous film called Big Ass Spider, Claire Kramer.
Well, technically, he's not my husband. He's wooing me throughout the movie. Oh. And then in the end, we kiss in that magical moment with the big pull away drone shot. So, and then
it alludes to the fact that you will be.
We reprised our roles as those characters in another movie called Tales of Halloween, where we did a cameo appearance. And yes, we were married in that iteration of the characters in that timeline. You know, it's very complicated. I don't have to explain these
love
things.
Love is complicated.
Big Ass Spider is such a complicated movie. I'm not sure you would get it.
No.
But the important thing to remember is there's a Big Ass Spider. And Greg and I. No, I Greg and I had a super fun time making that movie. Mike Mendez directed. Lombardo Boyer played opposite Greg, and he's a comic genius, and Greg was a comic genius, and I just rode their coattails, and we're not sure that there was even a script to that movie. We really improvised almost the whole thing, I believe.
And more importantly, this is the first guest that we have on the podcast that you locked lips with. So let that be true.
I have not made out or kissed with a lot of people on screen. For some reason, a lot of times I end up playing the villainous character or the evil, the bitch, if you will. And rarely are they romantically involved. So this was a new situation for me. And lo and behold, the day we did the kiss, Greg's son's entire baseball team showed up to watch. And like after one take, we're like, see you later. They they scurried on out of there. The magic of Hollywood.
But you hit a home run that day. See what I did?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
The baseball pun.
Not technically, because a kiss is only first base. So
I just meant a home run on the lips. But yes,
jeez.
Speaking of true baseball metaphors, Claire.
Yes.
That, yes.
I didn't get the green M&M.
You got a single. You got a solid single.
I got a yellow.
And with that, we welcome you to this wonderful audible experience that is the Greg Grunberg Ford Bronco podcast. Enjoy.
Okay, welcome to this episode of Fanatics Podcast. Our guest today is the amazing Greg Grunberg. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you. I love that intro. Let's do it again.
He's the amazing Greg Grunberg. Of course, you all know Greg from Star Wars and Star Trek and pretty much every other movie or show ever made. He's an awesome actor, but we're not going to talk about any of that today. We are talking about Broncos, and not just any Ford Broncos. We are talking about the 1969, 1996, and 2021 Ford Bronco Edition. And yeah, I cannot wait.
I'm a car guy. So I was so excited when you said, well, you know, we'll touch on this stuff. But this is all about what you're fanatical about and what you're passionate about. And we can either have a long conversation about food or we can have a long conversation about cars and trucks in particular and Broncos. So I'm ecstatic.
I am dialed into the Bronco. And I have a personal Bronco history that would like to share with you. It reminds me of my dad. My dad was a petroleum geologist and he drilled oil wells for a living. We lived in Ohio. And so he would always have a Bronco because his trucks needed to be able to, you know, be used in the field and drive around in rural areas. And so all growing up, I rode around in a Bronco with him and I used to sit, this is obviously in the 70s when we were a lot more lenient than we are as parents nowadays. I used to sit on the spare wheel, which was, we called the hump. And I would always ride around on the hump of my dad's Bronco. So
that's classic.
That is my Bronco story. And now I want to hear your Bronco.
No, we got to go back to this. Because I need to know, what year was that Bronco? Do you remember?
Okay. There were several iterations of the Bronco. There was a blue and white one. There was a brown and white one. And then there was like a green and brown one. So
he was committed.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like the truck. I would say they were, you know, early 80s, mm-hmm. you know, through the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is actually that's the only version of the Bronco, if you want to say version, that I don't own. And I absolutely love Broncos. So I'll start back with my 69. Okay.
Okay. Let's start there.
I have the 69 Bronco. I've always loved this car. The Bronco is so Americana. It's simple, but it's beautiful. And there's not a bad angle on this car. It's so symmetrical too. It's very square from every angle that you look at it, from the top to the sides to whatever. It's beefy. And it's hard to mess it up. Like, you don't see them lowered. You just see them either beefed up a little bit or, you know, sometimes people go a little crazy, but most of the time they look really good raised up with bigger tires or they look good or they look amazing stock. Who knew that they were going to explode in value? I've just always loved them. So let me take you back to the absolute origins of my Bronco, my 69.
Please do.
Okay, I sent you guys a picture, so I don't know if we'll put up the picture so people can
story.
See it. Okay.
I'm pulling up what it looks like. It really is exactly like you said. It's a very boxed car. It really feels like did they use this in the Army at all?
So this was Ford's answer to the Jeep. This was Ford's answer to a car that could go anywhere. Okay, so going back, J.J. Abrams, my best friend, we're both big fans of those cars and those trucks. And JJ's wife, Katie, was having a birthday. And this is a long, long, long time ago, over 25 years ago. And JJ decided, I'm going to get my wife an amazing Bronco. And so he said, Greg, you know, let's go. There's this place called Rocky Roads in Santa Monica, and they fix up Broncos and they have old Broncos. So we went together and we were walking this yard, and it was, you know, a few that were too expensive and this and that. But then we saw this beautiful blue Bronco, and it was sky blue and just, I don't know what exactly the color is. I should know what that color is, but it's just gorgeous. It's like Dodger blue. I say it's Dodger blue and it's gorgeous. So anyway, he bought that, took it home. Katie loved it, drove it a couple of times. And, you know, just being a mom and it's not a practical car, it sat for a while. Then he wrote Alias, and on the show Alias, one of the characters, Bradley Cooper's character, Will Tippin, had to drive a really cool, he wanted him to drive a cool car. And so he basically sold it to production because they weren't using it. So Bradley's using it. And, you know, back then it was cool, but it wasn't as cool. And we used it on Alias. And then when the show was going down, I went to the transpo department. I said, where's the Bronco? And they said, oh, it's in the bottom of the Disney garage. It has four tires gone on it. So no tires, sitting on blocks, no battery, no radiator, and just covered. You can't even tell. It just looked like a bunch of boxes because it was covered and it was so square. So I uncover it and I see just gold. I'm like, this is incredible. So I make an offer. They turn down my offer. I make another offer, and we're talking pennies compared to what it's worth today. And I had to do, you know, some work to it. I'm not a mechanical guy, but I have an incredible mechanic.
Hold on, you got it. You jumped over the but then I got it.
Yeah, and then I got it. They accepted this offer that I put in, and I was like thrilled. Elizabeth, my wife, was less than thrilled. She's like, "What are you?" I said, "No, come on, this is my dream car." it needs a little work. Anyway, over the course of a few years, built it to what it is now. And it's been over 20 years. I've had it, keep it garage kept. I really love this car. I've also been a huge fan of the OJ Bronco.
I mean, that is like a, that's like pop culture, you know.
He ruined it.
Iconic. Yeah. I mean.
But OJ ruined the Bronco. And
but Greg, before you get into it. So,
yeah.
So I do want to talk about the OJ Bronco because it's incredibly important in the grand scheme of the Bronco
history,
and the story.
Origin,
and
yeah.
Beyond your, I'm looking at literally Google images of the 69 Bronco and I'm seeing one that I think is almost spitting image of what you're describing. Like there's literally a sky blue, Dodger blue, beautiful looking one. And that is so pretty. I'm looking at it.
Isn't
I'm going,
beautiful?
Everything you're saying about it, I'm feeling what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then why did it change so dramatically that by 96 it looked completely different and lost all of the like beauty that it is I'm looking at right now?
Well, because I think practicality set in. I think people, the era of SUVs, like that wasn't called an SUV, that was an all-terrain vehicle. And then all of a sudden they thought, okay, this is going to be, you know, something that dads and moms, and it's a station wagon of the future. SUVs took over and they realized they have to enclose this thing. They still had the removable top. So they still kept that freestyle, that freewheeling style.
That's like a whole separate line. Is that in the 96 Bronco where you have the soft top or you can have the hard top?
Well, no, that's a specialty item for the soft top on the 96.
Okay.
But the hard top comes off. So Chevy has a truck called the K5 Blazer, and that the roof line. So if the top goes all the way to the front of the car, and you take that thing off, and the entire thing, just like an International or any of those other trucks, the entire thing is convertible, which is so cool.
Oh wow!
But the Bronco stops at the basically where the bar would
like
be,
the roll bar,
the safety bar, the roll bar.
Okay.
Yeah. So right in back of the driver and the passenger, and you take that off, and it's the coolest little short, stubby kind of pickup truck, the way it looks without the top. But the back seats, there. I mean, it was. I had a friend of mine, Jeff Schwartz, who had one in high school, and
so was the 96 one or the 69 one?
Well, the 69 one is completely convertible, goes all the way to the front.
Gotcha. So you're saying the 96 one, you like the short, stubby look?
Yeah, I mean, I like them all. I like them all because they're so boxy. But to answer Claire's question on the 80s, like they transition to yours, why did they transition? They just transitioned from something that was more military looking to something that was could appeal to families and you could, you know, and also construction people and everything. So,
well, see, there's where my dad came in. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the 80s version is, I love it. I love the grill. I love the way it looks. Okay, 78, 79. I love that we're getting so deep in a Bronco conversation. What is going on? This is my favorite podcast
ever. It's a deep dive into Broncos today, and we're not afraid to admit it. Go ahead.
So, I'm looking at the 1980 Bronco now.
Well, don't look at the 80. Look at the 78 and 79.
But you're telling me about the grill. The grill is very monstrous in the 80s. You're right.
Yeah, but the 78, 79, it's even bigger.
So, all right.
78 and 79 is the biggest footprint for the Bronco. It's the biggest that they made it.
It's very Hummery looking.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It can be absolutely gorgeous. It's just barely going to fit into a parking spot at Whole Foods. I mean, you're not going to be able to get lucky. That.
And definitely not Trader Joe's.
No. But
which that's some wizardry trying to get those as many spots in their lots. Like, what
exactly
are they doing at the permit office to get that?
The 69 through 76 or 77. Which is what I own. That now there are companies that are making them all electric.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of companies. And they are absolutely incredible. And occasionally I'll see, like, Kiefer Sutherland came to my building and I went in the parking lot and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, the most beautiful Bronco I've ever seen. Those things are between $150,000 and $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that ain't happening in the Grunberg house. That's just not happening. Sorry.
But, okay, wait. So I know, David, you have questions about the 80s version. Go with your questions because then I've got a question. I'm actually looking at your car, the 69 version, and I have a question about that one, but I don't want to usurp David.
No, let's go with the 69 one because the 69 one is what you currently – how many Broncos do you currently
– Yeah, I sent you pictures of three Broncos, I believe.
That you own.
Right?
Yeah.
I sent you a 69 – a 96, and then I plan on getting the 2021. Yeah,
we're going to get the 2021 together, remember?
Yeah, yes, exactly. We're going to get a deal, Ford.
Yeah.
I own the 69, and I own two 96s.
Okay.
And only I only own the two 96 because I must have done a good, you know, something right as a parent, because my two boys love and owned the Broncos. That's what they wanted when they turned 16.
You did good dadding there on those kids.
Yeah,
you mentioned you and JJ being huge fans of Broncos. I just want to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your Bronco fandom? Where does it?
Oh, I'm way up there. No. This is you know, whoa, I'm pegging. I'm redlining.
You're redlining above the 10. Okay, good. That's good to know.
Yeah, love it so much. And Elizabeth loves it. You know, ours, the 69, you have to understand the gear ratio on it, like, it's made for rock crawling and it's made for off-roading. And it's not that smooth riding car-like feel. So it's a truck. So when you're driving in it, I don't love taking it on the freeway. I don't love taking it long distances. It's a real Sunday, Saturday, or I go to my kids' baseball games or something. And, you know, locally, I'll drive within 5 miles of my house with that thing. I love it. It can go anywhere, but I just feel safer in something that's a little bit more reliable and not as old.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, okay, you've mentioned the boxiness several times and the fact that that like appeals to you, that framework, that sort of like style of automobile. But what specifically is it about the Bronco? Is it the Americana aspect? Is it the evolution? Because they have like, even if you look at the 98 right now, it looks outdated, but that was like cutting edge, in the late 90s. What is it about the Bronco that you love so much that redlines you?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. So the light blue 96 that I sent you that I have, it's basically the same as my 69 color wise. It's right. I just fell in love with it. I saw it. I was like, oh, Jake, I think this is the one for you. And my son was getting a car. And the great thing about these cars, these trucks, and this is what I love about them, is the space. I never thought I would get claustrophobic. I had Porsche. You know, I have a BMW that I drive now that I can't wait to sell. I just want to sell it. I want to have room around me. Basically, you know, I don't want even the A pillar. I don't like the pillars. I don't like them coming in on me. I love having room. The Range Rover. Oh my gosh. But that's not reliable. I can't fix that with a hammer. You know, so that boxiness, I really, really love. And I've loved that style. And now, you know, driving it, when I was a kid, I loved the style and I love how cool it was. And also every time you see it, the doors are off and these two girls are driving along PCH. I mean, it's like, you see it in all the commercials. Look, I'm not going to just pretend that the imagery that we've been raised with Bronco, it's that car. I also have owned a Grand Wagoneer, the Jeep Grand Wagoneer with the wood on the sides. Love that car.
Like, those.
Why do you not, Claire Kramer, you should be driving one of those.
I know. I mean, I'm sitting here contemplating my own life in cars as we're doing this podcast. Right now I have, when my dad passed away, I inherited his Jeep. So I have his Jeep. Before that, at one point, don't laugh, but I had a Hummer. That was my car before the Jeep.
Yeah.
Huge ones, the smaller size ones.
The H3.
The smaller size. Yeah, Because you wanted to show everyone how big your penis is.
Right,
I get it.
I was like, what's the most obtuse car I can get in Los Angeles at this moment? The H3, done.
Yeah.
And I got it in red.
By the way,
it was in cherry red.
You know, Hummer's coming out with a pickup truck.
Oh.
The Hummer line, they're coming out with a brand new pickup truck, and I think it's going to be electric to compete with the F-150 electric. And I think Bronco's coming out with electric, and I think they haven't told anybody yet. That's my thing.
But I'm just actually, I'm contemplating my life in cars, because now my plan is this year to get a new car and save the Jeep for my daughter, who's going to soon be driving.
Smart.
And so I have a plan for that, but we could talk about that later. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, my wife, so Elizabeth has an SUV, big, giant SUV. You have a million kids. We have a million kids.
Yes.
Our kids are big. So it's a practical thing, but Elizabeth, just for the first time, we're turning it in like tomorrow. I'm turning
Great.
It in. And I don't want to lease a car ever again. I hate it. I hate giving away all this money and then handing over the keys. So we're going to buy something that I think will hold its value. She's looking at F-150s. She's looking at a pickup truck because we don't need three rows anymore. And we do some gardening. We do some things. We schlep couches for my son's. I just moved him into a new place in
Your
college
kids are the
today.
Moving age.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be so, moving all about.
Yeah. If you want your kids out of the house,
get a pickup
vehicle
truck.
That will help. Yeah. Open that.
Okay. Wait. So let's go back to the 69 Bronco, your Bronco. What are these two latches on the hood front? Are those for like,
so
rope?
Those,
or
yeah, to hang your swimsuits, Claire, so you can dry them after you go
that's
surfing.
For me to tie my children to.
So, right. So what you're referring to, what you're referring to is like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, all the race cars and stuff, they had those little, you know, a metal thing that sticks up through, and then you put a pin through it. So you can actually put a lock so no one can get into your hood. That's basically because you would have racing engine parts and stuff that people would want to steal. So you can lock it down and also quick access to lift it up. The Bronco is fiberglass. So there's fiberglass on the sides. There's fiberglass hood. It's a very light vehicle, believe it or not, the 69. Then they went to the heaviest metal ever with the 78, 79 and above. I mean, that's basically what that's for. It's not a styling thing. It's practical for racing, I guess. Not for me. I don't use it for that, but I think it's kind of cool.
But it is cool. And then what are the, on the back wheel over the tire rims, which I love, which look like they're hammered on with nails. What are those two? They're not both gas gauge, like gassing tanks. What are those
they
two?
Are. There's
they
two
are.
Gas, yeah,
There's
two, gas,
two
tanks
gas tanks
in the Bronco. Yeah,
genius.
Yeah. I know.
What's that about?
Yeah, they did that. Ford had that. I also have an F-150, 77 F-150, a red, beautiful F-150. That was in, did you see Stars Born? Did you guys see the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it was Bradley Cooper's car.
Yeah, that was Bradley's. So I'm here, a little quick story on that. I know how we're mixing a little showbiz here, is that I'm driving the car to set. And I pull up to my trailer, you know, occasionally Claire and I will be lucky enough to park right at our trailer. Most of the time, I mean, at least for me now, it's like, those days are gone. Park over in the lot over, I mean, you know, but this was Bradley's, my buddy's.
We'll print you a map.
Pull right up to your trailer. Yeah, exactly. There's a shuttle that leaves in about 10 minutes. So anyway, I pull up to my trailer and Gaga's got a Lamborghini right by her trailer, of course. And Bradley's got a G-Wagon that he drives that's just gorgeous. And I've got this old pickup truck. It was lunchtime. I came later in the day, crowded. People like, oh my gosh, look at this truck. It's so beautiful. Bradley comes out of the trailer and he's like, what the hell is this? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I've never seen that before. I said, yeah, dude, I've had it for a while. You know, I haven't seen you in a little while. He's like, what? Loved it, fell in love with it. Immediately calls Transpo over and says, that's my character's car. I want this to be the truck that we use in the movie. So, you know, that's the way it happened.
So the main thing that I'm pulling away from this story is that whenever you sell this car one day, immediately on the listing is the car from A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
So you literally just up the value of that car by at least, I don't know, $5,000 minimum.
Yeah.
No?
I think Bradley Cooper has increased the value of all my cars. It's his character's car from Alias. It's his character's car from A Star Is Born. No, I'm never selling these. These are. Look, I always try and steal stuff from every show I'm on. I have my badge from Heroes. I have, you know, from Big Ass Spider. I still have, by the way, Claire, I have the jumpsuit.
Oh my gosh. Keep it because we're making a sequel.
Exactly.
You steal cars as well. Or, well, you at least, you don't steal them. You get very good deals on set cars.
Yeah, I try and hold on to them. I mean, I brought the red truck to that movie, but the other way around, I love them. And it's also nice to drive it and go, yeah, this was something that I'm, you know, part of my professional life that I
That's
fondly
so
remember.
Cool. So we know you love the 69 and the 96 and the 2021. Are there years of the Bronco you hate? Are there just
That's
big
a great
moves?
Question. Yes.
Where did Ford not get it right?
I'll tell you right now, it's called the Bronco 2. It's the Roman numeral 2. Look it up right now. You guys will laugh your asses off.
I'm Googling it right now.
It's their answer to the gas guzzling when cars were getting smaller, trucks were – everybody was trying to do a smaller version of what they had that was successful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So 83 is when it came out.
Ooh, they're just not good. They're not –
They're like the short bus. They're short and stubby.
So let me ask you, looking at that, I mean, really objectively, look at it. Do you think that, because maybe I'm wrong, one day will be a classic?
I don't think there's enough differentiation in style to make it a classic versus the longer version. You know what
the
I mean?
Bigger, boxier. Yeah.
The bigger, boxier. I think that if it were a convertible, or did the top come off or no?
No.
Yeah. If the top would come off, yes, then it would have the potential to be a classic because it would have a feature. But it's like someone cut off the end of the Bronco.
And the back, rear, left and right windows, they come up and they angle up, which is actually cool for the day. Impossible to find if you break that window. But I love the boxiness. Again, that feels claustrophobic to me. I don't think that's going to be a classic. That's where I think Ford got it wrong. And I think they got it wrong when they discontinued the Bronco after 96.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. So OJ's running away. We're watching, you know, NBA finals. Knicks are on. You're already sad as a Knicks fan because you know this isn't going to end well for you. Now this is happening.
Yeah.
Not that I'm speaking from personal experience, but did you just see... Did you see it in that moment that we'll never drive a Bronco for a long time, or did it not hit you at that moment?
Okay, so I have an OJ story. Do you want to hear the OJ story?
Oh, please. Absolutely.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. What year was OJ?
I feel like it was 96.
That
95.
Chase was the finals of, I think, 97. I'm pretty sure.
So 97.
No, 94.
Okay.
Oh,
94.
Lord.
Okay,
hold
so
on.
I'm
looking.
I'm 18 years old. Okay, I'm 18 years old, and friend of a friend gets invited. Oh, this is no, before that. So this is like, I was younger.
94, June of 94.
Okay, so
the finals.
So a few years before that, our family gets invited to O.J. Simpson's house for the 4th of July. I don't know him. We don't know him. We did grow up. I grew up in the same sort of area where he lived with his first wife. And in that house where he lived with his first wife, their daughter drowned in the pool. Not many people realize that. He lost his daughter and she drowned.
Oh.
Now, that's very important to this story because it shows just how fucking weird these people are. That we know of, and I never knew him, but I knew he lived up there near where I grew up. And cut to years later, we get invited to this house and it's to this party. And this is a friend of a friend, but there's a lot of people there. And we arrive and I get there with my mom. And we had heard that there was a rumor, if you walk into the party, if you do not jump in the pool, you're going to get pushed in the pool. That's a rule. That's a party rule. Jump right in the pool because if you're not, they're going to throw you in the pool. And it's a weird thing to do when your daughter has drowned earlier in your life. So anyway, my mom and I are standing up this side of the pool and we're looking around and I'm like, I can't believe this is O.J. Simpson's house. This is crazy. Remember, way before anything happened. And we're standing there and I'm standing basically at the edge of the pool, about a foot from the pool. And on the other side of the pool, there's this beautiful Persian woman. She walks in. I remember just absolutely gorgeous. My mom saying, oh my God, look how beautiful she is. And she's wearing a white dress and carrying a purse. And Marcus Allen comes up behind her and tackles her into the pool because that's part of the rule. Now she's naked because she's wearing a white dress. She's in the pool. All of her belongings from her purse are floating in the water.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. And before I can even react, OJ Simpson's head comes underneath between my legs and he picks me up and goes forward, but my head goes back and misses the side of the pool, cracking my head open, almost cracked my head open. I missed the pool by so little that everybody thought I cracked my head, including OJ. He tackled me and I'm no petite flower. And so even back then, I'm this big kid and OJ does this like fake thing. Like I'll never forget it. I mean, I was so young, but I remember it. Like he's a lifeguard. He's like, I got him. He's okay. Hey man. And he takes me in and he felt so bad that he invited me and my dad into the house to watch football with Marcus Allen and Al Cowlings and OJ and all these other people. I never forget it. Cut to the OJ chase. Now, I know that's a lot. I know. I love your faces because I know this story is pretty great. The OJ chase is happening and I'm at home and my dad calls me and all he says, are you watching what I'm watching? And I said, yeah, dad. And he goes, there is no way this man did what they think he did. And I'm like, why do you say that, dad? This man had me inside his home. We watched football together. And I'm like, what does that have to do anything? You watched football with him, and then he went out and killed his wife and an innocent person. What are you talking about? So that's my history with OJ.
OMG. That is crazy.
So then I'm watching this. Imagine I'm watching this, and I don't know these people, but I've been around these people.
Yeah.
Never talked to them after that day. I was a kid. But sitting there watching and knowing Al Cowlings is driving this car, the car is going about 30 miles an hour on the freeway. I mean, it is
so iconic. I remember exactly where I was when people were like, turn the TV on. And this was before cell phones, by the way. You know, this was like, you had to have word of mouth happening.
It was landlines. On the news, but remember, it was on every channel. And you're right. You called your friends and everybody knew he was going back to Rockingham. He was going back to the house that I was at for that party. So when he was going up the 405, or he was on the Santa Monica Freeway going to the 405, remember people came out, they were on the bridges. They were overlooking, they were waiting for him because they knew the route. They knew where he was going. And so it's so iconic.
What did he do to the Bronco and the image of the Bronco and the brand within that chase?
I think they knew. There was probably a lot going on.
He killed it.
But look.
He killed it.
Felicity cut her hair. Was it Carrie cutting her hair that made the ratings go down? No. There was also other stuff going on. So maybe there was other stuff going on with the car. Maybe sales were dropping. But this was a reason for them to go, all right, let's stop making this truck right now. I hear that they were actually selling a lot of them prior to this. So I really think that they were like, we can't be associated with a guy who's killed his wife and killed two people. And I think that's what happened.
Sorry for my ignorance here, but is this 2021 the first iteration of the Bronco since OJ?
It's not the first threat. They have threatened to bring this car back several times, but this is the first time. Yes, this is the return of the Bronco and it is glorious. It is beautiful. Like what's good is it's like rewriting a script, getting pushed back on your schedule. The script is only going to get better the more you address it, you know? And the car, this Bronco has only gotten better and better and better with every time that they've said, let's pull back. I mean, this is a Jeep killer.
And this is locked in. 2021 it's done. It's out.
Oh, I've already ordered mine. I put $100
out. They sold all their pre-orders, apparently.
Yeah, they sold all their pre-orders. And we can get out of them. You know, I pre-ordered the Rivian, which is the electric pickup truck, and then I pulled my $100 back. I was like, whatever. But at least I have – they say that they're not going to go over sticker because that's what happens when a car is this in demand. It's like, okay, the car is $42,000, and it's $5,000 over sticker to get it. If you have a reservation, apparently, we'll see.
Delve into the shadows of the mind. With Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay. So I got to ask you this. Do you drive a Bronco differently than you drive other cars? Is there a sense of something happening
in Greg Land? Yes. I mean, when I drive these Broncos, I get this. I get this from a lot of people. Hey, how you doing? And it's not because they know me from Heroes or whatever. It's because they love the Bronco. People honk their horn. I get offered all the time. Bozo, I'm getting gas, which is something you get. You spend a lot of time doing in a Bronco.
But you mean the 69 one and the 96 one? Oh, just yes. The 69
No,
one?
Both.
And the 96?
The 69, people really rarely do now because they know they can't afford it. I mean, first of all.
But it's so pretty. I don't mind. I can see that people are waving you at that one. But the 96 one, it's don't get me wrong, it's a very pretty car. I'm looking at it now. Your car. But like, are people really making offers on that one?
Yes. But low ball. They'll say, okay, hey, okay. My son who drives the other one that I have that you can't see right now, but Sam, he drives that and he's a baseball player. He throws the stuff in the back of the truck, in the back of his pickup, loves it. It's raised up. It's got big tires. And he just had somebody pull up and say, hey, I'll give you $5,000 for your Bronco. And he was like, no chance. But at least.
Not bad though for a car from 96.
Quickly, yeah. No. These things are worth. So you can get a really deep, like if you said, like, I got to say, Claire, I mean, David, you guys drive in Broncos. It's such a solid car. So great. If you wanted to buy one, you have it, unless you want to do all the work yourself, I could find you one. I stay up at night looking through OfferUp and I just do. I look up, on Craigslist.
That's what I texted you the other day. Yeah, remember?
Yes, exactly. You're looking at like 10 to 12. If you instantly just want a beautiful one, $15,000, then you've got an absolutely gorgeous truck.
That's not crazy.
No, it's not. And it's going to go up, David. It's not like it's going down. So you spend 10 on a Bronco. You put another $1,000 into it. You always have to think, okay, whatever. This is wrong.
Yeah.
Little things. And everything's available. Everything. I put a brand new bumper. You should see. I'll send you the before and after on the light blue one. You will not believe it.
Yes, I'd love to see that.
No, I'm not kidding. You will not believe. My wife was ready to just go, I'm leaving you. What are you thinking?
Okay, yes. How does Elizabeth weigh in on the Broncos? Like, where's her love? Is she at a 3, 4, 5? Have you gotten her up to a 7, 8?
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. She loves the openness of it. And like I said, she's thinking about getting an F-150 now. Her friend Karen just got one and she came over. I don't know if you guys have sat in a new F-150. I have such a problem with new cars. I have such a problem with that payment. I can't, the cars are so expensive. It's getting you from here to there. If I want to drive from here to Vegas, I can go to Enterprise Rent a Car and rent a car, not put miles on my car. It's like leases and new cars, they're so expensive. So unless I'm going to buy something, it's the first time I've ever in the last 15 years wanted to buy a new car is the new Bronco that's coming out.
So then here's the question. This is your first opportunity to buy and order custom your own Bronco. So what were the specifics that you put into this Bronco that you now find for the first time get this opportunity?
So, okay, the Bronco is in two-door and four-door. I just am all about practicality. My red F-150, I wish it was a four-door F-150, but that would also make it super long. And the four-door means that I can have my boys, and if they're driving it, they can have their friends, and Elizabeth and I can go out. The four-door also looks just so – it still looks cool. It does not
look
too big.
It's like a throwback to the 66 a little bit, right? Or the 69.
69. It looks exactly – and remember those things that you're on my hood, the side things? Now they've got grips. So that if you put a kayak or a surfboard on top, you can tie it down. Those are tie downs, but they're gorgeous. There's so many things. It's like a Tonka toy. There's so many different things that you can add, so many accessories, so many aftermarket products, and they're selling in the mall. But David, to answer your question, they came out with like the Badlands version and the Black Diamond version. And, each one of those is truly unique in that like one of them is for the ultra off-roader, not me. The other one is for this. Now, the base model is just not raised up enough. So I ordered the second from the bottom. It's got a little bigger tires and it's four door. Am I ever going to take all four doors off of it? I don't know. But the doors store in the back of it. They come with these pockets. So you take the door off, you slip it in this protected thing.
That is so cool.
What's the color?
I don't know yet. That's the thing that my boys, the whole family, we're all, what do you think? What do you guys Are you?
You got to go with blue. You got two other blue. I mean, you kind of got to go with a blue, like blue and gray, like maybe a dark blue.
Claire, if I got close to that blue, you know what I love is the new putty colors.
I like that too. Yeah.
Me too. Oh, yeah. They're gorgeous.
What do you got? Hold on. You're both excited about putty colors. I've never heard of this in my life. What? No, explain to me what a putty color is.
So think, you've seen it. Toyota 4Runners. You've seen these pickup trucks and they're the new ones. They're like a putty gray or a putty beige. They're beautiful. Really, really beautiful. There's also a Honda Civic that's just amazing looking, and it's that same sort of putty color, like clay color.
I think it's really interesting that the Bronco has taken you out of used car purchasing and back into new car purchasing. So I'm wondering what that moment is going to be like for you. Is it going to be delivered? Are you planning a road trip to take this 2021 on? Like, what is the debut of the Grunberg 2021 Bronco?
I haven't even fantasized about it. I mean, I think the ultimate thing would be to get it and load up the family, go up to Carpinteria and get a burger and sit on the beach with my Bronco. I mean, I just want to enjoy it with my family. It's just one of those things, you know? It's like, I mean, Claire, every single thing that you do right now involves your kids. It's forever. That's it. David, do you have kids?
I don't. I have two cats.
Well, there you go. So everything in your life is you climbing on some carpeted piece of something to scratch.
I'm not climbing trees all the time. I'm eating a lot of lizards, small lizards.
There you go.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah. The thing that I love and that I don't feel bad about with the Bronco, the new Bronco, is I really do believe that it's going to stand the test of time. It just looks classic. I think I could pass that down from generation to generation. I said the same about the Challenger, Dodge Challenger. When that came out, I bought one of those. They numbered the first 6,000 of them. They numbered them. Jay Leno got number one. I didn't claim or go inside to get anything. Mine was number 5,748, but it had a number on the dashboard. And I was like, this, I'm never selling this. This is going to be passed down.
That is so cool.
And I sold it. I sold it 3 years later. I was like, I can't, I need practical. I need to be able to park at the supermarket, and not worry about it. You know, I'm not that delicate guy. I'm more of a, you know, get use out of everything I own, guy.
It sounds to me like the car reflects, I mean, to use a term often used with animals, you've anthropomorphized the Broncos to, you know, I mean, they're a reflection of you, and they've taken on Grunberg characteristics, and they're a reflection of your family, you know? And so it's more, it is sort of like a family you know, use the word heirloom for lack of a better term, but it's very meaningful for you, your kids, and your wife has been Broncoed in.
Yes. I mean, I watch car shows. I love them so much. I can't get enough of them. I learn from them. I love watching, you know, in other situations be thrown away. A car would go to the junkyard or whatever, taken and brought back to life. You know, some people spend a lot of money and they call them resto mods, where they're gonna restore it, but they're gonna modify it and they're gonna put a Corvette engine into a Ford or whatever. I am all about just practicality. Everything that I own, that I drive, first of all, they're cheap. They're not hard to buy. I want to have a car show. I desperately want to have a car show. I have a couple of
them. I want you to have a car show so badly.
Oh my God.
Let's organize it. There's empty parking lots everywhere right now, Greg.
I know. Exactly. No, I have two car shows. One I did a trailer for and I'll send it to you. And it's my fantasy. It's just the greatest thing ever. And it would be everyone else's fantasy as well. And then the other is one that I'm calling Follow That Car, because like you said, there's a lineage, there's a history, there's a passion. It becomes a family member to a lot of these people. And you fondly have memories of where you got the car. And whenever somebody sells a car, they always wish they hadn't, you know, most times, if it's something that means something to them. And so to be able to have a show where we are detectives and we will follow, first of all, somebody buys a car and we want to go, okay, I'm going to give you the history of this car. Here are the people that have owned it. And we go back, we interview those people and why they bought it and what happened. And, oh, you got married in it. And, oh, it was homecoming car. We paraded it around, or, you know, and whatever. That to me, there's an emotional attachment to cars for me. And I think for a lot of people. And I really would love to capture that. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
That is amazing. I like that kind of car show, but I also want you to have a car show where you just park your cars in a parking lot and we all walk around and admire them. Which is what I originally thought you were saying.
No.
I'm like, yes, let's do it.
Oh, car show. Yes. Do you ever go to Cars and Coffee? So Cars and Coffee is something that's all over the country. And there's one out here in Woodland Hills, and I go. it's pretty great. I mean, I got to say, you see all types of, last time I was there, I saw Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, wow.
And she's walking around and I'm like, hey, but she owns like Ferraris. I mean, you can imagine. And we're all just admiring, even the kid that pulls up in the beat up, ratty old station wagon, but it's a station wagon. And we all love that car. We're standing there watching, and there's three or four people from all different walks of life. And we all have a fondness and an admiration for that car. It's a great equalizer. I love it.
I love it. You just took the words right out of my mouth. It is. The cars are the great equalizer. They're a necessity, but they are a reflection of your personality and in some ways your spirituality and your values. And, you know, that is what this episode has kind of taught me about Broncos and cars, you know?
Yeah. What you eat is what you are. What you drive is who you are.
Kind of, yeah. But don't judge a person by their car. I say judge the person by their car. Like, here's the thing. Claire, I could absolutely see you driving a Porsche. No problem. People drive Porsches. If they can afford them, they drive them, and then no problem. But I see you in a Ferrari. I don't even want to talk to you. You're just the worst. You're the worst. I see you in a Lamborghini. No, thank you. Ew. I see you in a Hummer. Thank God you got rid of that thing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there are certain cars that just reek of, and we shouldn't generalize, and we shouldn't say, okay, yeah, that person is blankety blank, whatever. I can't help but get over those things. When I see somebody who, like me, I also love originality. If I see somebody that has taken a car and it looks like my 90s, I'm like, oh, that looks like it just came off the showroom floor.
Absolutely.
I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
So my final question, but is also going back. Do you remember the first time you were in a Bronco? And did that affect all of it? Or did you just see one day and were like, I got to have that?
No, it's a great question. And I kind of talked about it a little bit, but my friend Jeff Schwartz in high school, he had a white, I think it was like a 94 maybe Bronco. And he always had the top off. And that back seat is open, and it kind of harkens back to like those old cars where it looks like the trunk and then the seat, and it's a seat that folds up and it's like a parade. Like you're sitting back there, like, what are you doing? This, it was open. It's such a, I just remember like Jeff, like during lunch in high school, like jumping in there and we'd go, and it's so big, but it wasn't loud or obnoxious. It was just cool. There's something about you know, just the freeness of getting in a car and just going, especially right now, by the way, like my wife and I, like I will just get in the car. We have to get out of the house. We got to get out. Cars have saved me and from certain situations. When he was a baby and he wouldn't go to sleep, we would get in the car and pretend that we were going house shopping. We had no money for a house. And we were like, let's just drive around and look at houses. And he would go to sleep in the back seat. I mean, how many times have you done that, Claire? It's like, they love the motion of the car.
I cannot count the amount of times that I have done that with all my, I mean, there was a point in time where I was strapping all four into car seats at the same time and driving around because I couldn't get anyone to nap on the same schedule. So yeah. I'd rather go on an 8-hour drive.
Exactly. I love driving. I love driving. David, are you a car guy?
I am really excited that you really love cars.
But
what a politically correct answer.
I am 100% serious though, Greg. Like, first of all, I'm going to talk to you after this podcast because I have a great idea for a car show that we should do. And you have totally invigorated me to look at my Jeep in a new way and like keep it really cleaned up and nice for my daughter because it was my dad's car, and also to find a car that like now practically works for our family a little better. So thank you. And I'm going to be calling on you for help with that.
Well, when you guys hear the idea, I mean, it's like, who cares? I could just say it. The idea, and we did a trailer for it. When I send you the trailer, I mean, you're going to go crazy. It's called Screen Machines. And I am such a fan of cars that have become characters in TV and film. And there's so many. If you go to the Internet Movie Car Database,
CDB.
CDB, you won't believe it. It's as big as the Internet Movie Database. Every car that's ever been on screen, ever, they tell you what car it is. They tell you what, or if you're like, what's the car from, you know, the movie, whatever, you know, Christine, or like, what's the Christine car? And you can look it up. It'll tell you exactly what it is. But anyway, I'm a huge fan of like, the VW bus from Little Miss Sunshine or the Jeep from MASH or the cars that are affordable, right? So we start every episode by finding that Comic-Con person, right? You're the perfect person to host the show with me, by the way, but because you have such, and everybody loves you in the Comic-Con world, Claire, but it's like, imagine we find that nut job who just absolutely loves Little Miss Sunshine or loves MASH or loves any of these shows, you know, the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family or whatever. And we go to their house and we say, we're going to make your dream come true. And we find a bus and we paint it like the Partridge Family bus. Then we redo one of the scenes, a famous scene from the show at the end. And then we hand them the keys and say, congratulations. Here's the ultimate fan, replica.
Fanatic. Yeah. Like, I love it. You know what, Greg? Every time I'm with you, we come up with like 8 new concepts for shows, movies. Like, we end up producing something together. It's awesome. You are the most amazing guest. I cannot thank you enough for coming on this episode of Fanatics, where we talked about the 96 and 2021 Broncos. You're amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Greg.
Thank you for letting me get this out. I've been pent up.
It's cathartic, isn't it? It's almost like a religious experience talking about what you love. And
I love it.
You know what? That's what the show's about. So thank you so much for sharing your love of Broncos.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Okay, now I just want to know what the next car that we're all going to be talking about that someone got a getaway in. What's that car going to be?
It's going to be the next... It's going to be the next Bronco in like another decade.
Of course it is.
I was Googling Broncos last night, actually. I was looking up because I'm in the market for a new car. I really am. But I can't believe I didn't tell this story during the episode. I did talk about my dad always having Broncos because he worked in the field and riding on the hump and all that stuff. But here's a very funny story, or at least in my memory, it was funny, probably not to my parents. So I was probably 12 or 13 and my friend was over and I somehow convinced my dad to give me the keys to his Bronco, and he used to park. We had a big sloping driveway that came down like this, and at the end of the driveway, there was a freestanding garage, but he didn't ever actually pull in the garage. He parked in front of the garage. So anyway, just to set up the scene, he gave me the keys. I got in the driver's seat. My friend got in the passenger seat, and I was like, Dad, yelling up to the house, can I pull the car out? And he's like, sure. And all I had ever seen my dad do was turn the car on and then pull the shift thing down. Now, I didn't know there was reverse, drive, neutral. I was 12, you know? I'd only driven, you know, a lawnmower or a tractor. So I turned the car on.
Like we all do at 12.
Right. Exactly. I turn the car on. I pull the shift thing down, just all the way down, and I press the gas, and I drove right through the garage door. And you have not seen, I mean, my dad flew down the steps because my house was like he had to come down like a level to get to the garage since it like was on a slope. So he flew down the steps, got in the car. My mom comes out of the house screaming and my dad's like, scoot over. And he hops in the driver's seat. He backs out of like the garage, out of the wreckage, the wood wreckage, and he just drives away. And I remember we stayed away for like 4 hours till my mom cooled off.
I think my favorite part of that story is just in his anger, he still said scoot.
Yeah, he's like, get out of it. Scoot over. Get on the hump.
Scoot over.
So that is I just love Ford Broncos. I'm with Greg. And you know what? He has also been texting me pictures of cars since that episode. So,
and speaking of cars, please tweet us at We Are Fanatics of the car that you love, the car that you adore, the car that you are probably sitting in right now listening to this very podcast. This is David Magadoff. That is Claire Kramer. The Bronco is sitting in the showroom as we speak. Go check it out. We'll talk to you next week on Fanatics Podcast.
See you guys next Thursday.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode. I cannot wait for you to listen to the next one. So I'm just going to tell you all about it right now. It's with Katie Sackhoff. Yes, you know her from Battlestar Galactica, Longmire, and of course on Netflix right now, Another Life. And we're going to have another podcast episode with her. Yes, she's going to talk about her dogs. She's fanatical about them. And we start to become fanatical about them too. Even if I'm a cat person. What? Check it out next week, Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Colin Baker. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Boy, that's a lot.
Four doors.
A hood.
Life is good when you're Greg Grunberg.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.